Hello, and welcome to Leading the Way, Women in Higher Education, a podcast dedicated to celebrating, supporting, and advancing women in higher education across Michigan. I'm Dr. Cynthia Rooker, and I am so thrilled to welcome you to today's episode, The Future of Michigan ACE. Within this episode today, we'll look ahead with Dr. Reva Curry to explore the future of Michigan ACE and how it's evolving, what new opportunities are on the horizon, and how Michigan ACE plans to meet the challenging needs of women in higher education. Now, whether you're a seasoned administrator, a rising professional, or simply passionate about equity and empowerment, this conversation will offer insight, inspiration, and of course, a glimpse into what's next for Michigan ACE. Now, before we dive into our conversation, I'd love to give our guests a moment to introduce herself. Dr. Reva Curry, would you mind sharing a bit about your background and your role with Michigan ACE?
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Rooker. I'm very pleased to join you this afternoon. And I am currently the Vice President of Instruction and Learning Services at Delta College, where I have served for 11 years in that role. And in that role, I am over about 170 full-time, 200 adjunct faculty, along with our program, which is around 140. So the faculty and staff, it's my honor to serve and to do this work in helping our students together. So I also represent Delta College as an institutional representative to the League of Innovation and Community Colleges. And I am very pleased that this year began my first year of a two-year term as the state chair of Michigan ACE Women's Network Executive Board. And so I'm excited about that, excited to work with a dynamic board. We are a volunteer board. We work very hard to convey opportunities to women in higher education across the state of Michigan. And we are a network, I want to say, of almost 30 public and private universities, four-year colleges, as well as community colleges across the state of Michigan that are working together to help advance women in higher education in the great state of Michigan.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Curry. It's wonderful to have you with us. Now, let's go ahead and we'll jump into our conversation. Can you tell us what is the long-term vision of Michigan ACE, and how do you see the organization evolving over the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years?
Well, thank you so much. And what I want to say is that Michigan ACE Women's Network, we were formed back in 1978. So that's about 48 years ago, and that was just 1 year after the National American Council in Education developed a National Women's Network, and that National Women's Network helped state networks get formed across our nation. And we're founded on the 6 principles of the National Women's Network, and that's called IDEALS, which are to identify, that's number one. Number two, develop, encourage, advance, link, and support women in higher education. Now, within that context, Dr. Rooker, I'll answer your question. And you're already aware of, as well as many of our listeners, the tremendous changes that are taking place in higher education across our country and how our institutions are reviewing, revising, and sometimes restructuring themselves to adapt to this rapid change. So within that context, the long-term vision over the next 5 to 10 years, the Michigan ACE Women's Network is to continue to lean into the work of preparing, if I could put that in bold, I would, and supporting, that's my second word I put in bold, women in higher education in this state as they help lead their institutions through this unprecedented change. And I do want to give credit right now to Dr. Selena Samuel. She is our Senior Vice President of Operations at Lansing Community College, and her team at LCC chairs our Michigan ACE Women's Network Annual Conference Committee for the year 2025 and next year with 2026. And our theme for next year for 2026 is elevated. with the emphasis on the ED at the end, and that is to ascend and transform your world. And that is a bold theme that signals to our members and those who will be coming to attend our annual conference that this is to help prepare them, that what we want to do is help equip our attendees with some of the knowledge and the tools that they will need to do what I had said before, and that is to help support their institutions through this unprecedented period of change.
Fantastic. Yes, thank you for mentioning Dr. Samuel. She is also on the list to interview in for a podcast as well. So we'll make sure that we have her on and talk about the conference for next year, too. So can you tell us,
thank
Dr.
you.
Curry, how does Michigan ACE measure the success in empowering women leaders across the state of Michigan?
Thank you so much for that question, Dr. Rooker, because we have our annual conference that takes place every June, and we have well over 300 attendees, women from across the state of Michigan in higher education attend, and we survey them at the end of the conference to see what did they like well, what would they like to see more of. And we use those results to help inform our professional development opportunities that we will provide throughout the year. So that's one of our data sources. Our second data source is for each of our member institutions, we have two institutional representatives for each of the member institutions. And what they do every year is they write a report of the work that they have done with their colleagues at their member institution, and how that work supports the state network and what we can do to help provide them with additional resources. So we take the information we learned from the state conference survey, we take the information we learned from our institutional representative's annual report, and we cross-reference them, and that helps guide us into the professional development work that we need to go ahead and continue to pursue to make sure we're staying relevant and we're meeting the needs of our membership. I can tell you, for instance, that our last survey for 2025 listed our top two sessions at our annual conference. 2025 was one session was Own Your Swag, The Secret to Influence, Impact, and Unstoppable Confidence. Another session was Leading for Impact. And so we know that the information that was presented there that our attendees really like, and that helps us to be able to keep what our attendees like, and as well as to add to the things that they would like to see us add more of. And we know that helping our membership to be able to take care of their own selves in the midst of helping their organizations adapt to change, but not losing sight of their own mental health and their own self-care is something that we make sure that we frequently address as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah, those are very effective data sources. Absolutely. And I'm very familiar, as I am one of the IRs for Lansing Community College. So I also...
So you can see that we're actually paying attention to the reports that you write.
Absolutely. Yes, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's great. And yes, it's good to know our contributions do definitely help and make a difference for other mm-hmm. women in a higher education. Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. So are there any emerging trends in higher education or leadership development that Michigan ACE is preparing to address?
I'm going to say, Dr. Rooker, one of the things that we are just inundated with, and it's almost at a breathtaking pace, I mean, we almost don't have enough time to catch our breath, is just the change, the tremendous change that is happening at each of our institutions, and each of our institutions, depending on what type of institution they are, public or private, university or college or community college, is impacting them differently. So what we want to do is to be able to be nimble enough that we can present professional development opportunities for our members that they can help their institutions adapt to these external changes and still keep students in the center of what we do, which is our institutional mission. So how can we still do that and at the same time help our institutions adapt to the change? So we want to make sure that we're keeping students in the center. We want to make sure that emerging trends that we see in higher education, that we make sure that our members are aware of them. But at the same time, Dr. Rooker, what might be an emerging trend this year might all of a sudden change. And so we want to make sure that we're able to keep in front of that. I'll say one emerging trend, for instance, is AI. and how is AI impacting our institutions from a leadership level. So we have begun to have professional development in that realm. But knowing that there will be other changes that are taking place in addition to the changes that are happening externally as regulations are changed, that what we want, Dr. Rooker, is for our members not to be afraid, not to be inundated with so much change that you almost say it's just best for me not to do anything but just stand still. We want to equip our members to have the support, to have the information, to have the knowledge to know that no one has all the answers, but we want to reassure them that they need to be in the room, that as they're in the room, that they can help their institutions move forward. And we're excited to help our members see that, as well as we work with the presidents of each of the institutions, because we want to convey to them that you have here in Michigan ACE Women's Network, an organization that's working very hard to make sure that members of your institution are able to come back to your institution and help your institution.
Oh, excellent. And as we all know, change is constant, right? And your leaders within Michigan ACE are certainly prepared to address all of those changes and the impact that it affects on our future leaders in higher ed. That's great. Thank you so much. So could you share a recent success story that reflects Michigan ACE's evolving mission?
Sure. And remember that I had said among our ideals were to develop and also to support women in higher education. I would think that that's one of the things that we do that happens when we're able to come together, be it by Zoom or be it in person, and our different professional development opportunities for women. And so there was, I'm going to say one example was I have a colleague from another institution, a faculty member was interested in moving into administration. And based on our ideals, those national ideals, I was able to encourage her, support her on her journey, give her practical advice. And this is that advice that she received, and when I give it to other members or at our institutions, some gravitate to it and embrace it. Others look at me like, don't think I want to do that right now. But this is the advice that I told her, Dr. Rooker. I said, if you really want to get into administration, this is what you do. You go to the administrator that you have access to, and you say to that person, the next time that there's an opening on an institutional level committee, I'd like for you to consider me. Now, that's an open-ended invitation. You don't know what's going to happen behind that. But when you say that, what you're signaling to that administrator is I'm interested in institutional level work and I'm willing to contribute towards a committee. Now, you and I both know that that is one of the things that's like gold at an institution, finding willing committee members.
Absolutely.
That are willing to engage, that are willing to do their homework and to help at the institution level. And I can think of two institutional committees that everyone groans about, and that is strategic planning and also accreditation. But if that person comes through and says, you know what, just think of me when there's an opening for institutional committee, and I'd be interested. I gave this faculty member that advice. She took me up on it, and within 2 years, within the same year, she was working on an institutional level committee. The following year, she was able to get a position in administration, and now she is preparing to apply for a senior executive position. But it got to start, not just giving her that advice, but for her listening to say, okay, now what can I do to separate myself from everyone else? And this can be a pain point for a lot of our women leaders that are saying, Reva, you mean I have to do this and I'm already doing everything associated with my job already and you're asking me to do this additional thing? But if you think about committee work, most of the time is once a month, sometimes biweekly. Those committee meetings last like an hour, maybe about 90 minutes. The homework that you have to do, maybe time on task, 30 minutes to 45 minutes. I'm not trying to minimize it, but I'm trying to say the signal that it sends to an administrator that you are ready for institutional level work cannot be underestimated. And so I am so pleased with that. I consider a real success story. And I'm going to say also she, in turn, is paying it forward and helping other women at her institution and coaching them and mentoring them in the same way.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that's
fantastic.
What I like about Michigan ACE Women's Network is that it is truly a network. It's not about one person. It's about how we can lean in to what our dreams are, what we hope to be able to make an impact at our current institution or even another institution, how we can make that happen. And there's one thing that Dr. Helena Samuel says that I really appreciate. She says, Michigan ACE Women's Network, we help you bloom where you're planted. I'd never heard that term before until she said that, meaning that if you're not interested in moving to the next level position, that's fine. But we can help you be more effective at the position that you're at, be able to have greater influence. And for those that are interested in moving to the next level up in their career path, then we're interested in helping you as well.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, I hope I answered your question.
Oh, yes, yes. What a success story. And and how intriguing, how exciting for you to have the opportunity to touch, you know, people's lives like that, and especially
absolutely.
when they're ready, right? Absolutely. Yeah, that's
yes.
great. Wow.
When they're ready, and yes, and at the same time, Dr. Rooker, being cognizant that for some, that's not in their pathway, so there's no shame to that.
Mm-hmm.
But how can they continue to grow in their current position and help influence others along the way? So we're all influencers.
Absolutely.
And how can we do that and do that with enthusiasm as an specialist? We have a new generation of leaders coming up that are not as seasoned as we are, but they're going to be in the seats that we're in within the next 5, 10, 15 years. So how can we help them?
Right. Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. So can you tell us, Dr. Curry, as state chair, what legacy do you hope to leave behind?
You know what? I appreciate that question. I've been thinking about it really for a long time. And I'm just going to say, I hope that my legacy can help convey to the women across the state of Michigan that they belong in this space, in this higher ed space. And I would want them to have the confidence that as we work together, that they can meet these changing needs of our institutions. Because our institutions are encountering something at such a rapid pace that no one could expect, no one could anticipate, and no one has all the answers for. And they have a right to be in the room and to be co-problem solvers along with the rest of team leaders. So first of all, what I hope to leave behind is the legacy of you belong. And second, that the things that we as women bring to our problem solving, which is we bring a global perspective. We also bring an empathy to the issues that we are dealing with, and we support one another. So I would like for us to, as members, to see as part of my legacy that, first of all, we're reinserting students into the dynamic. We're helping our institutions do that. And we are bringing hope to our students and the public that higher education is still a public need for the public good.
Yes, in all our communities, absolutely. Education
yes,
is the
and,
key.
But yes, and you know, Dr. Rooker, is one thing to say it. It's another thing to actually role model it and do it.
Absolutely.
And that is where I see that we, as Women in Michigan, ACE Women's Network, we can role model confidence. And it doesn't mean we know all the answers. Because I'm saying sometimes mm-hmm. as women, we tend to be a little timid because we say, well, I don't know all the answers. I can't meet every part of this position description for this position I'm interested in. Well, you don't have to.
Mm-mm.
But bring what you have. And then if there's an area in which there is a shortcoming, and believe me, I have many, then you identify those areas and you put together a game plan to address them.
Absolutely.
And then you still move forward. But just in doing that, Dr. Rooker, we are setting an example. And that's what we want the leaders that come after us to know, that there's nothing that they can't do. So it's not a matter of can I do or can I not. It's a matter of are we willing to put the work in, and are we also willing to not put a timetable on it? Because it may take me longer to develop a particular skill set than it takes you, but that doesn't mean that I should just give up. And that's a legacy I really would like to instill in our membership, and that's a legacy of hope and we're being smashed in terms of that higher education no longer has a place. The public is becoming increasingly disenchanted with us. Well, I think that we can begin to push back against that current.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much for sharing that. So what advice would you give future leaders of Michigan ACE who will carry the torch forward?
I would say to future leaders, and I'm thinking of the generation that is coming up that are probably, I want to say, 10, 15, 20 years behind us, as well as those that are just entering college right now. So that's how I envision the future leaders and the trajectory that they have. First of all, to encourage them that higher education is a profession that they can get satisfaction from. It's not a burnout profession. They can get satisfaction from it because you get the thrill of helping to lead your institutions to help students. As long as we keep our students in the center of what we do, then that's going to help us and reinvigorate us. But I also would ask that future leaders begin to build a personal team of two or three, doesn't have to be a big group, supportive women and men who will tell you the truth and help you grow to achieve your professional goals. So this one, when I say two or three supportive folks, they can be women or men. This is someone that's not going to tell you that everything is coming up roses and we just, and oh, you're just the best thing since sliced bread. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they will tell you the truth. They'll tell it to you gently, sometimes not so gently, but you trust them that they have your best interest at heart, that they're not trying to tear you down, that they're trying to build you up. And if you develop that personal team that can carry you through the next decade or two of your professional journey, and then should you end up swapping them for someone else because as your journey continues, then there's someone else that can help you as you continue to move forward, then that's okay. So I'm saying you don't need a huge team. You don't need five, six, seven, or eight, but two or three that you can keep coming back to say, okay, this is what I'm thinking about. What do you think? What do you think my skill sets are? Yeah, and how do you think I need to improve upon them? Because iron sharpens iron. Notice I said personal team. I didn't really use mentoring because people tend to shy away from that. But you still have those supportive people that's going to tell you the truth, help you grow so you can achieve your professional goals. So they're not afraid if you say, this is the goal that I have. They don't immediately come back to you or give you a nonverbal or a verbal that says, nah, I don't really think that you're ready for that. Well, yes, you are, because you don't know over the course of how long it's going to take for you to reach that. But it's okay. If it takes you 5 years, if it takes you 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years, we want our future leaders to know it's worth it. The journey is worth it. And it's not just achieving the goal at the end. The journey in itself is valuable and teaches you to become the leader that you're ultimately going to be. So leadership is not just something we reach at the end of the journey. We're gaining leadership skills all along the journey. What I also like for our young leaders to know, in addition to building that personal team of two or three supportive people that's going to tell you the truth and help you grow, that I would say to our future leaders, first of all, you can do it. Don't put a timetable on it. You can do it. And I would also say that Michigan ACE Women's Network needs you. We need your enthusiasm. We need your new ideas. We need your willingness to look at things over time and to help us as we look at. We're going to celebrate 50 years of the network in 2028, and we're depending on our future leaders and the next generations after them to take us to the next 50 years. And so I am hoping and I am excited and I am cheering our future leaders, many of whom we haven't even met yet, cheering them on. And I just want us as Michigan ACE Network to have prepared things in such a way that we can hand it off to them and know we'll be in good hands in the state of Michigan.
Fantastic. That is priceless advice for our future leaders who I'm sure are listening today. Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, me too. Well, thank you, Dr. Curry, so much for sharing your insight and vision of the future of Michigan ACE. It's been so inspiring to hear how the organization has grown, how it's adapted and leads the way in empowering women across Michigan's higher ed landscape. Now, to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on Leading the Way, Women in Higher Education. We hope that today's conversation sparked new ideas, offered encouragement, and reminded you of the power of community and leadership. So until next time, I'm Dr. Cynthia Rooker. Thanks for tuning in to Leading the Way, Women in Higher Education. Until next time, keep leading, keep learning, and keep lifting others along the way. Thanks for tuning in to Leading the Way, Women in Higher Education. To listen to this episode and others, visit lccconnect.com. Until next time, keep leading, keep learning, and keep lifting others along the way.